Namaskar. This is Akhilesh Bhargav again. Welcome to Tidbits on Business and Finance with me. The situation in India is that if a tiny few, a minuscule number of entities violate corporate laws or tax laws, the amendments to the law that come are so heavy-handed that they impact everybody else very, very severely, and they increase the cost of compliance, and they also make it difficult for others to operate. So for the crimes of just a few, the amendment laws that come impact everybody else in a huge, heavy manner. It is like enforcing laws applicable to criminals on the non-criminals also. And it is the non-criminals who suffer the most. But this is the attitude with which we actually operate in India. Take the instance of Calcutta. A few scammy operators were found to be operating shell bogus companies in Calcutta, and they were issuing allegedly bogus share capital and all kinds of transactions to evade taxes. These were just a few number of them based primarily out of Calcutta. But what came from the legislative amendment was an onslaught. The law got amended in such a severe manner that it has been a very expensive, difficult compliance for everybody else. But then that's the way that the legislation and the administration reacts to any kind of a law violation that takes place. Take the case of shell companies. Over 3 lakh companies have been held to be shell entities so far. They have been struck off the registrar of companies. They have been closed down. And how was this done? If you were a company and you did not file your ROC returns for 3 years, which is a violation of the Companies Act, and that violation can be rectified by filing the returns and paying the fees that is mandated by way of a penal fees, you could correct it. But the government took a stand that if you did not file your ROC returns for 3 years, it means you are a shell entity and you were closed down. There were hundreds and thousands of companies who had not filed their ROC returns, who were not shell entities, who had genuine businesses going on, who had taken bank loans, who had taken loans from the market, who had public deposits, who had tax liabilities due, who had tax disputes, but they were closed down. It was to the detriment and prejudice of the government itself that many such entities closed down, which had dues payable to the government. And to the government's own dismay, it has had to go and seek their revival. The closure was apparently contrary to the facts of the case. But then, that was a rough and ready measure that the government had decided on. You don't file your ROC returns for 3 years and you are deemed to be a shell entity. It was completely contrary to the facts of the case. Another such measure that they took was that in the case of a privately held company, if there are directors who are not shareholders of the company, and the government thought that these directors were not adequately qualified, they held such entities to be Benami bogus entities and again went for their closure. Now it is the Companies Act itself, the structure of the Act itself, that provides that a director need not often be the shareholder of a company. But the government took it otherwise and decided to close down such entities, and many entities which were genuine and running and had only one problem: their directors were not shareholders, which is very often so. Employee directors is a done thing in corporate world and corporate India, but the government took it otherwise and decided to close it down. Such illogical and irrational measures impact genuine businesses more than the non-genuine businesses. But then, heavy-handed responses to crimes by a few is what we resort to. This is what has happened also in respect of capital received by a company. Now, in private companies, in closely held promoted companies, it is the promoter shareholders who risk their money. It is they who manage the company. It is they who have looked after it. It is because of their efforts that the company has been incurring profits and even paying taxes. And at some point of time, if they decided to increase the capital of the company and they put in more funds of their own, legitimate, genuine funds, but the valuation of those shares did not meet those academic parameters that the government is enforcing by virtue of an amendment in the income tax rules, a rule which is called 11UA, then that capital, which came from the existing promoters of the company itself, who had put in their own genuine funds, which the department doesn't doubt, is held to be bogus. It is completely illogical. But then, here is an academic theoretical rule inserted in the act. And if you don't follow it, if you have brought in your own money, but it is not as per valuation as per the rules, which is completely contrary to commercial wisdom, it is still held to be bogus. One rule is replacing the commercial wisdom of a successful entrepreneur, but so be it. This even applies further in a very logical manner. There might be two private entrepreneurs who negotiate a deal between them to invest in a company. The share valuation is privately negotiated between these two independent entrepreneurs in a privately contracted transaction. But if it is not as per the said rule, Rule 11 UA, it is again held to be bogus. This is contrary to the facts of the case. This is not a logical law to enforce. And courts have very often, all the time, held that this is not correct. They have held in favor of the entrepreneurs and against the income tax department. But the income tax department continues to enforce these kind of regulations because they are on the rule book, notwithstanding the fact that the courts have held cases against them. These kind of measures, this kind of an attitude of hitting everybody with the same stick, does a lot of damage to business. It is very anti-business. It is very anti-ease of doing business. It is like if a particular bureaucrat was found to be corrupt, it doesn't mean that the entire bureaucracy is corrupt. Just because one man did a crime, it doesn't mean the entire society is a criminal. But then, this rule of logic and fairness doesn't seem to apply to entrepreneurs and companies in India. This is Akhilesh Bhargav signing off. Till we meet again. Namaskar.